Why was Canaan cursed? Genesis chapter 9 records the story of Noah's son Ham. Remember, Noah was the guy with the ark in the global flood. And Moses records, quote, "Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. As a result of this, Noah cursed Ham's son, Canaan. Canaan then became the head of Israel's primary enemies, the Canaanites." Needless to say, this story is bizarre. Why would Noah curse Ham's son because Ham looked at his nakedness? Well, it's not immediately clear, so it deserves some research. This phrase has caused much confusion, but when Christians learn its meaning, the entire chapter tells a much clearer yet unfortunate story. You see, quote unquote, a man's nakedness is an ancient Hebrew figure of speech. Essentially, it's a polite way of referring to sexual intercourse with a man's wife. As Moses wrote in Leviticus, the man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. That is, he has seen his father's nakedness. Canaan then lived a cursed life because he was conceived by incest. That's why this short story emphasizes two different times that Ham, not Noah, was Canaan's father. So Noah's curse of Canaan was not misdirected anger, nor a hex, nor an evil spell, but rather it was a simple recognition of cause and effect. Canaan's father, Ham, reaped what was sown. Canaan's tragic circumstance became a warning to others to not follow Ham's wicked way of seeing his father's nakedness. So this isn't just a bizarre story. Rather, this is Moses in Genesis, and he is presenting the unfortunate yet understandable origin story of the conflict between Jews and the Canaanites. Now, that is the short answer, but I want to provide some more detail. Genesis chapter 10 lists the tribes of the Canaanites, including the Sidonians, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Arvadites. It's a small world. Ironically, I grew up in Arvada, Colorado, perhaps making me an Arvadite.
Got him!
No, only kidding. The Canaanites then settled in familiar areas like the areas around Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of Gaza. The hostility between the Jews and the Canaanites then remained for thousands of years. Recall that the Gospel of Matthew records the story of Jesus' love for the Canaanite woman. This was a significant event because by this point, the Jews and the Canaanites were still hostile. It was a clear example of Jesus practicing what he preached to love your enemies. Many Christians have read this account and supposed that after Noah became drunk, Canaan came in and visually saw his father's nakedness, that is his naked body, and that Canaan was cursed as a result of this awkward family moment. I want to submit today that that is not what happened. Not at all. It simply does not explain the extreme anger between the Jews and the Canaanites. Here's what really happened. This story is more about Canaan than Noah. As you can see on screen, the nakedness of man was a Hebrew figure of speech, meaning having sex with a man's wife. It's just a more polite PG way of saying so. Canaan then lived a cursed life because he was conceived by incest. Keep in mind that Noah's kids, Japheth, Shem, and Ham, lived for about a century in the wicked pre-flood world. Notice something interesting in Genesis 9. We read in verse 18, "And Ham was the father of Canaan," and then in verse 22, "And Ham the father of Canaan." Why that repetition? Well, the author wants to make it abundantly clear that Ham, not Noah, was the father of Canaan. We also read three separate times that Canaan, in one way or another, was cursed. We read, starting in verse 20, "And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent." While Noah was drunk, Ham committed incest with Noah's wife. Ham took advantage of his father's drunkenness. Habakkuk 2:15 warns against this exact behavior. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. It is foolish beyond measure to get your neighbor drunk so that you can sleep with his wife. A husband is supposed to be a covering for his wife, but when he's drunk, he's not able to do a good job of being a covering for his wife. But Ham, knowing that his father was drunk, looked on his father's nakedness. Any serious Bible student knows that Noah and his family were saved from the global flood, which was a judgment of God. Ham, having grown up in an excessively wicked and sexually perverse generation, was influenced by that culture and committed incest with his mother. He impregnated her and became the father of Canaan. Because it was Noah's wife who bore Canaan, the story repeats two times for emphasis that Ham was the father of Canaan, not Noah. Moses did not want the Jews nor the Canaanites to forget the horrific origin story of the Canaanites. Any child conceived in incest enters life set up to fail. This is true even if you do not consider genetic mutations. Canaan had his grandmother for a mother, his grandfather for an uncle, his mother for a great aunt, his father for a cousin, and worst of all, his brother for a father. Well, his half-brother, that is. Both morally and sociologically, incest is always a curse. Genetically, early humans reproduced with siblings and first cousins because the deterioration in the genome was not yet that big of a problem. But quickly after the flood, the severity of mutations likely increased, including as the result of radioactive decay on the continents. This tragic development, a foreseeable result of sin, moved God to, through the Mosaic Law, prohibits relations, sexual relations, between close relatives. As all authors and people do, Moses and the Jews spoke using figures of speech. Very often, Moses would use figures of speech talking about difficult topics to be polite and modest. For example, Moses, instead of saying that Adam had sex with Eve and had a kid, he more politely said Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. So Moses could have been crude and almost a little bit vulgar and spoke and said, oh yeah, that dude had sex with a chick. But more politely, he tends to say things like, oh, this man who laid with this woman. If you read the Bible and don't understand figures of speeches like these, you will be completely lost and confused. When prohibiting incest in the Mosaic Law, rather than saying that a man shall not have sexual intercourse with his mother, Moses writes that he shall not, quote, uncover his father's nakedness, unquote. When Moses wrote that Ham saw his father's nakedness, that was a respectful and probably appreciated way of saying Ham had sex with his mom. Moses is frequently very polite as he writes scripture, hence the use of this Hebrew figure of speech and others. Notice another example from Leviticus chapter 20. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. If a man takes his brother's wife, he has uncovered his brother's nakedness. Moses was very polite as he was writing Leviticus 18, which prohibits every variety of incest. I won't read all of the examples now, but notice them below. But notice this at the end of verse 17. They are near of kin to her, it is wickedness. So what does this sound like this is talking about? Well, this is making incest a crime. Verse 18 makes this clear as well. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. What is this saying? It's saying don't cause sisters to become rivals. Now, what might cause sisters to become rivals? Well, if both of them end up having sexual relationships with the same guy, yeah, that's obviously going to cause some rivalries. This verse is telling men to not be the reason that two sisters are rivals. But what's the language that it uses? It says not to uncover her nakedness. Now, this does appear to have dual meanings. It certainly is wrong to expose the physical nakedness of anyone other than your spouse. And so it definitely can mean that in some situations. But it also means to have sexual relations with someone. It does get a little bit confusing because sometimes the woman's nakedness is referred to as the man's nakedness or vice versa. Think of Genesis 2:24 though, where a married couple shall become one flesh, or how Paul states that your body is not your own. That's where this idea kind of comes into play. When a man sleeps with another man's wife, it's not just a violation against the wife, but it is also a violation against the husband. Ezekiel also uses this figure of speech. In you, O Israel, men uncover their father's nakedness. In you, they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. So understanding this Hebrew figure of speech allows readers to understand Moses' account of Noah cursing Canaan. Ham was the father of Canaan, which is the actual topic of the story. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. His own drunkenness meant that he could no longer provide protection, that is, a covering for his wife, and so she became vulnerable and exposed to Ham's wickedness. And Ham, the father of Canaan, this is repeated to emphasize the point of the story and to hinder any misrepresentation of the real identity of Canaan's father, saw the nakedness of his father, that is, he committed incest with Noah's wife, his own mother, and told his two brothers outside, right, as wicked people often brag of their sin and as misery loves company, perhaps even inviting them to do likewise. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, refusing to take part in what was apparently an assault and literally giving her a covering. And this was in hopes of beginning the healing process for her and their family. Their faces were turned away and they did not see their father's nakedness. This means their mother's naked body, and understanding it this way makes sense, unlike the silly mistake of taking the phrase too literally and missing that it's a common figure of speech. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. That is, that Ham had violated Noah's wife, which he learned about from her and his other sons. Then he said, after he learned of the pregnancy, "Cursed be Canaan, whose father was Ham." Canaan's true story shows the tragic reality of a child being set up to fail because of his father's wickedness. Noah then cursed Canaan as a statement of reality, not a hex, not an evil spell or a jinx, but as a warning against others to not follow in Ham's example. This account at the beginning of the repopulation of Earth also helps to explain the world's ubiquitous taboo of incest between parent and child. This taboo is known by anthropologists to exist in virtually every age and culture. The lesson was a hard one to learn. Canaan was cursed inherently by being conceived in incest. The law of reaping and sowing applies even to the children of fallen man. Children are blessed when their parents obey God and cursed otherwise. These curses don't operate in the world through millions of daily supernatural micro interventions, but rather they are the natural consequences of the parent's sin. That's really what it means to be blessed or cursed. So a father's drunkenness curses, that is, it harms his children, not by intervention fiat from God, but by the direct cause and effect that the children suffer from bad parenting. This is unfortunately the unavoidable part of man's fallen existence until God ends this phase of human history. So it was incest that set the background of centuries of conflict between Noah's descendants, especially those through Canaan against the Jews to whom God promised the land of Canaan. While the story of Canaan being cursed directly follows the creation and global flood accounts, rightly understood, it helps us see that all throughout Genesis is a rational book of history, not an odd collection of bizarre stories. My name is Dominic Enyart, and this video is inspired by my late father's much more lengthy article, Why Was Canaan Cursed?, which you can find at kgov.com/Canaan. My father, Bob Enyart, taught the Bible for 30 years, and he believed that the key to understanding the Bible was to first understand the big picture, like a bird's eye perspective. Having a solid understanding of the plot of the Bible will make you more educated on the Bible than the average seminary graduate. That's why my dad created the Plot Bible Overview Seminar. It's a 6-part seminar that gives a big picture of the entire Bible. If you commit to this study for just 6 hours, you will understand the Bible better than 95% of Christians and better than 45% of pastors. Did I make those numbers up just because they sounded good? Yes, I did. But no, seriously, it will be a huge blessing to you. I am sure of that. So check that out by clicking the link below. We do offer a 30-day money back guarantee, no questions asked, but you will not want your money back. You will want more. So check that out to understand the Bible better than your pastor in just 6 hours. Hey, may God bless you guys.